Well, I want to welcome those on the podcast that are tuning in to the House of Manna podcast. I want to share a word with you that the Lord has given while I was in Kenya, but this is for the bride of Christ. I will have a special someone who just came forth and delivered a very prophetic word during our tithes and offering time. This daughter of this house has just revealed the heart of God. I want you to read what is here.
This is the 70th Jubilee of the Bride of Christ, along with being a leap year at our one and at our two, which signifies the season of strength, deliverance, victory, success, promotion, acquiring our God-given wealth, receiving power to make wealth, double blessing of anointing and joy, double portion of strength and blessing in His glory, Haggai 2:4-9. May you receive power, Deuteronomy 8:18, to prosper in all you do. May God restore the years the locusts have eaten, Joel 2:25, and may you be established in the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a season of pregnancy with purpose and direction for the kingdom of God. A season of sweetness and a time of celebrations. Curses are broken and overturned, making the bitter to become sweet. I receive that.
Hallelujah. Do you believe the word of the Lord? Do you see where God is in sync with the heart and the spirit of man, the bride, that He puts it in the people that are yielding to His voice? She just prophesied Jubilee, prophesied debts being canceled, prophesied everything that I was about to speak to you about to tell you what God is doing in this season. Woo! This is a season of pregnancy with purpose and direction for the kingdom of God. If you're going through a problem, there's purpose behind it. If you have a situation, in Jamaica they say it's no problem. Just a situation. Problems can be fixed. Situations can turn around.
Amen.
This isn't a fight or a battle that we have to fight. If He's already won it, what are we fighting for? Our job is just to go and regain our stuff. That's it. Why are you going to go into battle for someone that's already defeated? You're fighting against yourself. Just go and get your stuff. Land is being restored so we can take ownership. For the two of you that got it, amen. Maybe those listening on the podcast, you probably got it, and you say, how can I sow into it? Well, if you go to the website and there's a PayPal link, you can go ahead and sow in. Listen. Land is being restored. People from a far distant land are returning back. Let me see that. How many of you got the handout? Revive us. Acts 3:19. Times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The problem is we don't know how to get in it. If you open up into the inside of the pamphlet, you'll see a beautiful picture of me and my wife. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But everything that we just read, I place in here as well. But if you look on the second sentence in that paragraph, it says, in this season of 2016, the Lord has revealed His truth about His bride, that He will return the land and the people from a far distant land, whom have left due to offense, hurt, disappointment, and past experiences. Maybe you don't want to celebrate it. But before we ever get to revival, there's always a great falling away. Many have fallen away from the church. Many have fallen away from the very presence of God. So when God brings people back from a far distant land, because he's getting ready to do something in that land. Do you understand? This is a prophetic declaration that is going forth. But the word and the title for this particular message is "The Bride is Asleep." When I released this word in Kenya, the Lord had spoken to me and said, "This is for my bride. There's not different brides. There's one bride." So what you release in Africa is for the church as a whole. Get back and release this to the people of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, I have victory. You have victory. Because the fight's already been won. I told you on Wednesday, I came with an expectancy for me to impart with the fire that was in Africa. But I was at a different level in the prophetic, and I apologize for not understanding it. Now the Lord says, I want you to see that what was coming, I have already overcome for you. I wish I had someone that understood what I'm saying right now. See, we want to fight against the principalities, against the spirits. But when Jesus says it is finished, it was finished. He gave us the keys to hell, death, and the grave. What did hell entail? Every foul and unclean spirit.
Amen.
What are we fighting for if we have the keys? Just lock it. Just lock it. Done. So when you lock it, bye, Felicia. I'm about to go and get my stuff. I know that the season that we're in is for us to get what has been taken away from us. I'm going to get my hair back, too. Woo-wee! Y'all like, hey, what's he talking about hair? Oh, it's symbolic of something. Samson got his strength back when his hair came back.
Get your hair back.
No, baby, it's all right. I'm all good. I'm going to shave it bald. I'm going to polish it up real good for the... No, I'm just kidding. All right, listen. Stop it. Stop it. Listen, Linda, listen. When I was in Africa, I noticed some things about the people in Africa. They had such a hunger for the word of the Lord. That they would come from distant places, almost 2 hours away, just to get to go hear the word of the Lord. There was a group of people, that about 12 of them, that came from Kachabora. Popo knows this. And every day at each conference, they had raised enough money just to pay for their trip on the bus to get to the conference. 2 hours away, when they would come, they came together as the 12. They came to be imparted to receive, conceive, and then go back and release in their church. So when they received in the outpouring, they came with such a hunger and a thirst that God fed them and gave them drink. If you don't come with the expectancy to receive, even in the mess, you get a message. Even in the trouble and the trials, you're going to get what God has intended for you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So they came and they have just as much trouble as we do. Oh, just as much. They have as much distractions as we do. They have just as many problems as we do in the church. It's no different. That's what set me free when I was ministering over there. Popo, can you attest to this? That it was a different ministering while we were there this time. Because I realize I'm not ministering to a different people. I'm ministering to the church as a whole. You understand? So they came in with such a hunger and a passion to hear the word of the Lord, receive it, conceive it, and to release it. I got off the phone with a Papa Louis yesterday. He says, I'm glad you called me. He says, we just got back from Kachabora, the people that came, and for 45 minutes to an hour, we heard testimonies from the 12, plus people that didn't go to the conference, but because of the 12 that impacted them, they had testimonies of healing, testimonies of supernatural breakthrough. You're going to miss this one. You're going to miss this one. There was a young man within this particular group of people that only had a second grade education. He didn't know how to read, write in his own language, much less English. So he was encouraged while he was there in the meeting. He took on the class. And as he took on the class, he said, how am I going to do this if I can't read? Much less everything is in English, not Swahili. How am I going to read? Pastor Protus, which is the director of the school, said, trust me. God is going to give you what you need. He finished the course. Now they're at the church in Kachabora where Papa Louie and Miss Rita were at this past weekend. And he says, I need to testify. So this month, 45 minutes, so Papa Louie says, just keep on. He gets on the microphone and begins to speak English without an accent, articulates it very well, grabs the Bible in English, begins to read the Bible in English without an accent. Punctuation's accurate. You don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. If you have an expectancy from God, there's nothing that He cannot do on your behalf if you say, I will do it. Oh, my God. Please hear this. Second grade education, couldn't read his own language, couldn't write his own language, but now is reading, writing in English and doesn't need an interpreter anymore. By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you don't need man to teach you, for the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. Imagine that. From Swahili to English is now going to the secondary school. Primary is your regular schooling. Secondary school is like going to college. But he dropped out of second grade. Living on the streets, just trying to make things work. When God gets a hold of someone that is hungry and somebody that is thirsty, will defy all odds. As long as they want it bad enough, God will give it to them. I'm telling you, if we, the people of America, can have that hunger for God, a reckless abandonment of faith, and say, I'm going to get mine. Regardless of my circumstance, I'm going to get mine regardless of what I'm facing today. I'm going to get mine. Whatever the devil wants to do to distract me, it's only going to take me in. You think that God doesn't know what the devil is trying to detour you from? Every time there's a detour, God says, don't worry, I'll just open up another avenue for you to get you back into position. Stay faithful. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't take your eyes off,
help us, Lord.
But stay focused. How many of you are hungry for God? If I had asked that over there, what would have been the response? Yeah, exactly. There would have been such a shout because you don't have to ask them if they're hungry. You don't have to ask them if they're believing on God for a breakthrough. They come expecting to get their breakthrough every single time. And if they leave without one, they're coming back the next time, still expecting. It's not your season. It's not your clock or calendar that determines when the angel of breakthrough steps in. You go through a process for a purpose. That's why you go through it. Everything about pain has been purposed. You don't believe me? Why would they scourge Jesus on his back? By the stripes upon his back, we were healed. Everything had purpose. Why'd they put the crown of thorns on his head? Because a mindset was being renewed, and he took on the curse of the mindset and reversed the curse. Why did they pierce the side of Jesus? To empty out the judgment of the water within the lungs that can no longer pass judgment on people. Because he took on all of the judgment. I kind of want to hear this. Put the nails through his hands and through his feet. But yet didn't break one bone. Woo! So that every time you lay hands on someone, the person receiving the healing should see the nail-scarred hands and not yours. Why the feet then being pierced? To know that he's walked this path out for you already. He knows it's painful. He knows it's hard. He's bled down that path for you. He's redeemed your path that you can walk to your destiny knowing I went through all of that to get you through. Pain is purpose. Every pain has a purpose. You don't understand it. But lean not on your own understanding, but trust and acknowledge me in all your ways. Woo! Trying to get to my message, but I feel that God is trying to say, be encouraged. Don't lose your hope. Stay in order. Stay in a spirit of expectancy on God, not man. Man will fail you, but God will never fail you. If he said it, he's going to do it. Turn with me to the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I'm going to go to this. We'll be done on time. There's going to be some healing today and impartation. Some of you are getting healed right now from the disposition because of the lack of hope, losing faith, and because of your anger towards God. Getting set free. When you're there at Song of Songs, chapter 5, say amen. Verse 1, I'll begin reading out of the Message Bible. It says, I went to my garden. Who is this? The man, the lover. I went to my garden, dear friend, best lover. Breathe the sweet fragrance. I ate the fruit and honey. I drank the nectar and wine. Celebrate with me, friends. Raise your glasses to life, to love. The woman responds, I was sound asleep, but in my dreams I was wide awake. Oh, listen, it's the sound of my lover knocking, calling. The man, let me in, dear companion, dearest friend, my dove, consummate lover. I'm soaking with the dampness of the night, drenched with dew, shivering and cold. The woman responds, but I am in my nightgown. Do you expect me to get dressed? I'm bathed and in bed. Do you want me to get dirty? But my lover wouldn't take no for an answer. And the longer he knocked, the more excited I became. I got up to open the door to my lover, sweetly ready to receive him. Desiring and expectant. As I turned the door handle, but when I opened the door, he was gone. My loved one had tired of waiting and left, and I died inside. Oh, how I felt so bad. I ran out looking for him, but he was nowhere to be found. I called into the darkness, but no answer. The night watchmen found me as they patrolled the streets of the city. They slapped and beat and bruised me, ripping off my clothes. These watchmen, who were supposed to be guarding the city. I beg you, sisters in Jerusalem, if you find my lover, please tell him I want him, that I'm heartsick with love for him. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true. It's yesterday, today, forever. It's an ongoing word that is alive today and for eternity. We thank you for it now. Now open up our hearts, open up our mind. Let us hear what the Spirit of God is saying in this hour. And let us take heed to this word. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's children said amen. Amen. She was in a state of slumber. She was asleep, but yet still awake. She was lethargic and not alert. How many of us have seen ourselves in that state? Yes, God, I'll do whatever you want, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. And then he tells you to go do something that you don't want to do. Oh, Lord, but not that. We're not working in the children's ministry. Oh, Lord, no. Lord, not in the prison ministry. No, Lord. Lord, not doing outreach. No, Lord, not that one. Why do I got to house this one? How come I can't house that one? Or how come I just can't do this? See, we want to bargain with God when he tells us to do something. See, if we're saying yes to him, that's yes all the time. And that doesn't mean yes when I'm ready. Yes after I pray. It's yes and amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? The bride was lethargic and not alert. Just like the disciples in the garden while Jesus prayed, they were asleep. Matthew 26, 40 through 43. The New Living Translation reads this way. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said, Peter, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they could not keep their eyes open. Happened 3 times. Finally, at the 3rd time, he says to them, go ahead and sleep because the hour has come. Are you hearing the warning? Didn't I ask my disciples who I said, stay here and the 2 of you, sons of Zebedee, come with me. As you pray here, I will pray there prostrate and I want to show you something. That watch meant to pray with him. How many of you would stand with God and ask, can I pray with you, Jesus? I want to pray with you, Jesus. But yet, it's because you had a hard time, you fall asleep. How many of you have been that place when you're trying to get into the presence of the Lord and, oh, it's so good. Next thing you know, you're falling asleep. All right. Repent ye. I love it. Hallelujah. Jesus told them to come and follow. But what the thing was is they didn't know how to stay up during this watch and pray. They fell asleep 1, 2, and the 3rd time finally says, you know what? Stay asleep. Stay asleep. Give it to one of the kids. They'll fix it. Give it to one of the kids. They'll fix it. Now, that's the disciples who were walking with Jesus. What about the 10 virgins? Matthew 25, 1 through 12 in the New Living Translation reads like this. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. We can preach right there that sometimes those that you hang out with, half of them are fools. Should I stay here for a little bit? Yeah. Because the company that you keep, half of them will be fools. How are you going to know which ones are the fools? The ones that are attentive to Jesus. Or the ones that know how to wait on Jesus. The fools don't. They waste everything. They're always talking so much. Been around a fool that talks a lot? They'll talk themselves right back into their own lie and expose themselves. Watch. The fruit lets you know the root. I'm just saying, this is a whole different message here. Half of who you hang out with are fools. Don't matter because they're there where you're at, that they're good. You want to know who you are? Look around who you're hanging out with.
That's right.
Tells everybody else who you are. Oh, we'll move on. We'll move on. Verse 3. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps. It's just kind of like how most friends, when they go, they kind of operate on the old anointing that they had when they first got saved. But they think that they could just stay with you and they'll get more anointed. No, they're there to suck you out. Oh, just saying. Verse 4. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. Extra. Read all about it. Because the wise know how to keep some stuff and not give it just to everybody. They're always prepared for what Jesus wants to do. Willing, ready, and able with expectancy. Verse 5. When the bridegroom was delayed, how many times has God been delayed? In our minds. God ain't delayed. He's like, shoo. I know when it's going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen. My time is not your clock. When I decide to do it is when it's going to be done. Not when you tell me to do it. You ain't going to move. You can invoke my hand, whatever you want to do. You can fast, pray. You can shonda in the Honda. But it ain't going to do nothing until the appointed time.
Amen.
When he's delayed, it's not delayed. You think he's delayed. He's coming in his timing.
Right.
I'm just saying. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. All of them, the wise and the foolish. Don't miss this. You can be around spiritual people. And they're going to fall asleep too. Because the waiting is the hardest. When, God, when? Even the spiritual are crying out, when? Even they get tired.
Amen.
And they sleep. Are you seeing the state of the church? Tired of waiting. So tired of waiting. I ain't going to church today. Same thing all the time anyhow. Pastor would go off on a tangent this way. And I don't even know what he's talking about. I'm telling myself, it don't matter. You got A, D, and I'm getting whatever. The D and the H and the whatever it is. Doctors look at me, Mama, I don't know what's wrong with this man's shoe. Mama said, I do. He's called. You don't know what that means.
Amen.
You better look at your son, your daughter, and say, you know what? They may not understand, but God understands, and I know who I brought forward. Oh, man, I'm just trying to encourage somebody. Verse 6. Watch this. At midnight. Oh, Lord. Matthew 25, we're now on verse 6. And at midnight, they were roused by the shout. Oh, hold up now. Did you see it? At midnight, there was a shout. At midnight, there was a sound. See, when Jesus comes back on the scene, it ain't going to be in the daytime when everything you can see. It's going to come in your darkest hour. When he shows up on the scene, somebody else is going to say, I see him coming. To awaken the spirit man. He don't come when everything is going good. He don't come when you've got everything figured out. He comes in your darkest hour. When you need someone to say, I got you and I fought this battle and you've already won. At midnight.
Hallelujah.
There was a sound at midnight. Kind of reminds me of another story about Paul and Silas in a prison. At midnight, there was a sound. Wish I had a folk that knew how to hear the prophetic word of the Lord. At midnight, they were roused by the shout. Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. Come out. I don't want to hear this. He gave you the keys, but you locked yourself up in your own sorrow. You locked yourself up in a room that ain't nobody is going to help you get out of but you. You're the only one that has the key to come out. When there's a shout at midnight, the shout was, the bridegroom has come. Come out. Come out from your misery. Come out from your slumber. Come out from what you've been in. It's time to let go of your past. It's time to let go of your sin, your issue, and everything that Aunt Bootsy talked to you about, your grandma lied to you about, how your daddy hurt you, your mama hurt you, you weren't wanted, you weren't an orphan. Come out of all that. God has a plan and a purpose for a people that are waiting on Jesus.
Like, see how transition is here? You feel it? Feel it.
Come out. Half of them around you are fools. But I call you for such a time as this. It's time to come out. Quit staying in your misery. Quit staying in all your excuses. Oh, but you don't know what I'm going through. I don't gotta know. I don't have to have the answer. You got to have it. It is Christ, the anointed one, the hope of glory in me that brings the hope to overcome what I've been through. I don't go to the house of manna because that pastor's always screaming and stuff. He's always yelling about everything. When I'm passionate, I'm passionate. I'm not like the preacher you want to hear. Praise God, you're blessed. I'm going to tell you that everything that you are going through is going to get you to the other side. And you're going to get yourself back. Pain is purpose. It's purposeful. It's the product of your faith. It's pain. We go through stuff. But don't lock yourself up in a room. I gave you the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Come out of it. Come out of your depression. Come out of your false identity, being confused. Am I a woman? Am I a man? Who God says you are. Hallelujah. Understand. You can't focus anymore. Come out of that. Come out of the darkness and step into his marvelous light. Come out, for he has drawn nigh unto you. Draw nigh unto him. If you're angry, upset, bitter, and mad, step into the presence of God where there is the fullness of joy. Oh my God. Out. There's a shout at midnight, come out. The bridegroom is here. Are you ready to come out? Come out of it. Step away from that darkness. Come out. Hallelujah! It is your time to come out. A cry has gone out at midnight. It has come from the deepest part of your souls, because you cannot see where you've been. You cannot see where you're going. But God says, I know I have brought you from a mighty, mighty long way. The journey is not over. You have not hit a dead end. What you feel is the end of the road is my opportunity to lift you up and to place you on the course that you will see that I've ordered your steps to be on. You have got to come out of that place of despondency. You've got to come out of that place of being lethargic. You know that I have given you the key, says the Spirit of God, from hell, death, and the grave. And you are the one that controls what you're going through. If you just trust and lean on me, keep your eyes on Jesus, and you will see he will bring you out. But you first have to come out yourself. You know that God has called you. You know that God has placed his hand on you. He has purposed you. But you played around with the oil and you wasted it. It is time to get back in order and get back what God has intended for you. You felt like you missed every step of the way, that every oil that God has given you has been wasted. But the God of more than enough is coming into your life right now to restore the oil that has been taken and stripped from you. I'm giving it back to you. I'm giving your youth back to you. I'm bringing back healing to the people of God. Repent ye now in the presence of the Lord. Repent. Repent. Let him put you back in that place. On the road to your destiny. The road of purpose. Come out. You are not forgotten. You haven't been disqualified. You've only been qualified for his mercy. Do not slumber, beloved. Do not slumber. Do not sleep in this time of healing. Do not sleep in this time that God is moving on your behalf. He is already calling you, but you're questioning, is it your voice, God? Is it your voice? Let me remind you, when your lover speaks to you, you know the name. The Bible says that you know your shepherd's voice. He is the shepherd that is calling unto his sheep. Come unto me, all those that are heavy burdened, and cast all your cares upon me. Don't hold it no more. Cast it. If you're looking for a future, because your present and your past is very bleak and dismal, now is the time to repent of your actions and to turn away from your wicked ways and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and let him restore to you the things that you have lost. Season of Jubilee. Some of you are carrying burdens that are not yours to carry. Let it go. Let it go. If they don't want to change and they don't know how to change, it is not your burden to carry it. You've got to give it to God so that they can give it to him. You can't carry somebody else's baggage for them and think that they're going to be delivered. They got to carry their mess to the altar and ask for forgiveness themselves. Now is the time. Now is the time. There's healing right now. Receive it from the Lord. Oh. love you. Just lift up your hands and worship. Just lift up your hands and worship. Surrender yourself. Surrender yourself to Him. That's it. That's it. Some of you have made some decisions based on your emotions. And now you're putting it on God, saying that He did this. You did it because you didn't heed to counsel by the Spirit. Heed to the Spirit of God, repent, and let Him show you where you can make change. Your destiny is discovered along the way. He gives you glimpses of where you're going, but He doesn't show you the road that you must travel to get there. Your pain is purposed. Your actions may have had consequences, but God will use it. Not that He sent it, but He will use it for His glory. Now is your time right now. Now is your time right now. That's it. That's it. There's healing right now. All you gotta do is just grab it for yourself. Come on. It don't matter how many times you have stood at the altar of change. This could be that very time where it changes. Some of you right now have already made a decision to commit yourself to God. 100%. Come on. It's in Him that He gives you strength. It's in Him that He gives you power to obtain what you need. It is in Him that will bring about the fullness of joy in your circumstance. You can be in the storm, but the peace is right there with you. He's trying to bring you all the way through and all the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come on, it's just you and God. It's just you and God. You've carried it too long. You've carried it too long. Church hurt, wounded. You felt like you were mistreated in church. Hurt by an individual, a leader. Hurt by the prophetic. It is time to let it go. And let God do the complete and final work in you. He wants to get you to that place of wholeness in Him. You're holding an expectancy of man and not of God. Man will let you down. But God will raise you up. Come on. Relationships have you battered, beaten, and confused. You're frustrated, and you don't even understand why. Those are indicators that you made the wrong decision. Heed to it. Listen. These are the warning signs of God. Heed to the signs. It gets worse down the way. Your servants, your children are listening, saying yes, they are willing, but they give them themselves to you right now. Right now. If that is you, you receive it right now, right where you stand, right where you sit. I receive it. Don't be looking for a chill or a goosebump. There's a false manifestation. It is your heart that inclines your heart unto God. Let Him do the complete and final work in you. Let Him do it. He is calling unto the bride, awaken, beloved, awaken. See, the bridegroom reached for the handle, the lock, and he left the myrrh on the handle in the lock. So when the woman reached out to grab the handle, the myrrh was on it. It was the fragrance of the lover, Jesus. But the oil made it easier for the key to unlock what had been hardened. Open up your heart, for it has been hardened because of the season that you've been through. Give it to him. Open the door and let him in. Let him in. The same myrrh that was used for the anointing oil is the same myrrh that is used in the embalming process for death. Let's put to rest that very thing that has been causing you to go back to the same place in your mind, your spirit, and in your soul. It is time to put that thing to rest, put it into the grave, and not open that door anymore.